Blog Talk Radio.
Great day, everyone. And thank you so much. We invite you to the show, and we certainly appreciate you being here. I am your host. My name is Kimberly Silas, and I am over the clouds excited on today. We are here with Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr. as my co-host. I am so honored and privileged, Dr. Dunlap.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're excited for you, Kim, and just for taking a step of this leap of faith, not a step, but you're taking a leap of faith to talk about your health as your wealth. So we are excited to be here and looking forward to all that God has for you to share to us and the rest of the listening audience.
Well, Dr. Dunlap, I certainly appreciate that, and I certainly appreciate you for encouraging me to utilize my wings. If my goals are too small, if my goals are not frightening, they are entirely too small. So I thank you. Today we are here, and we're going to be discussing your health is your wealth. This is something, this is a creed that I actually live by. I'm going to give a brief introduction for those that don't know me and my testimony. I would like to share with you that I recently celebrated my 50th birthday. Yay, yay, woo-woo! And what's so incredibly, I have this loving energy. I can't describe it. I'm going to get a better way to convey what I'm feeling, but I feel so empowered, and I am to the point where I am madly and passionately in love with my life. In my 40s, by the time I had hit, my weight had exceeded 400 pounds. And I'm confident when I was in my 300 range, 350, 375, I seemingly functioned with that level of weight significantly well, to my belief I was. Until I hit my mid-40s, I started having significantly health challenges. And at my heaviest weight, I was 408 pounds. I was an immediate candidate referred by my medical professional for the gastric bypass. In meeting with the pre-surgical consultation team, I was informed that I had to lose 50 pounds before they would even take me into surgery. So that period of depression and devastation and disappointment actually turned out to be one of the most elevating, inspiring, and life-impacting experiences. And this particular platform, what we want to do here is to inspire, encourage, to educate, and to just give you information on how I have turned such a dark period of my life into one of the best things that has ever happened to me. We open the show on today with the topic of today's show is Elevate Your Consciousness, You Will Elevate Your Life. The reason that we chose this particular topic is because the level of your consciousness is the foundation for everything that we will talk about moving forward. It is my personal belief, and once again I'll say it is my creed, that so as a man thinketh, then so is he. You have got to know who you are and where you choose, and the operative word right there is choice, where you choose to align yourself and how will you utilize this time that we call life. Utilizing the power of consciousness is the foundation for all that we will be discussing moving forward. So you will hear me throughout these series repeating myself and going over things over and over and over again. And we definitely, let me say this, I want to be as transparent as possible. I hope that what I say here will help impact somebody's life in a positive way. But when my testimony derived from various levels of addiction, food being one of the major, major, major ones. So, but there's something that we're all going through. As individuals, everybody has that elephant in the room that they're dealing with on their own personal level. So I just want to encourage you, if food is not your issue, if obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol levels, if those particular things don't apply to you, then I want to encourage you just to fill in the blank. The series, Your Health is Your Wealth. Now, when we think of wealth, we automatically think of finances, and we will most certainly be discussing that because your finances, your family, your friends, how you are aligning these things in your life, and where is the level of success or contribution that these outside resources or influences are making in your life. I want to talk briefly about consciousness. Consciousness, by definition, is merely the state of being aware or aware of your surroundings. It's just the state of being aware. When you woke up this morning and you came to out of that sleepy grog, you began to realize, hey, I'm awake, I'm doing well, I slept 4, 6, 8 hours, you know, the trees are still standing, the house is still fine, my lights are still on. That's your level of consciousness. It is the state of being aware of all that you're around, all of the surroundings that you encounter. It is the awareness or perception, your paramount of something, your view or vantage point, how you see something. I may see a glass of water and the glass to me looks half empty. You may see the glass of water, same glass of water, and it looks half full. It is merely your conscious state of paramount, how you view things. And the fact of awareness of the mind and in of itself and in the world. So not only does the mind operate outside of itself, it operates within itself. It operates that my mind knows that I have a mind. So brought that out first is because I want to share a brief story with you about how I came to believe so strongly in developing and nurturing the elevation of consciousness. But about 10 years ago, I was misdiagnosed with a serious, serious medical condition. And I was spending astronomical amounts of money going in and out of the doctor's office trying to get them to give me a treatment plan and some medicine that would fix me. And everything they tried was failing, and I was so incredibly frustrated. And a friend of mine came to work, and she said, Kimberly, please, the life and death lies in the power of the tongue. And Proverbs 18:21, the life and death lies in the tongue. And I was so angry with her. I said, you don't understand. I feel horrible. I don't know what's going on with me. She said, Kim, I get it. But you've got to learn to speak life over your circumstances. And she left, and we were still friends, but I was very frustrated with her because I said, I dare she confront me in the midst of this medical issue, telling me that I'm a whiner and a complainer. A couple weeks later, maybe even a few days later, she came back to work with a meditation journal, and it was wrapped so beautifully in a gift. Her name is Diane Johnson Jones. I want to know that I love her to this day. She wrapped it beautifully, and she handed it to me. And this is not my birthday. It's not Christmas. It's not Best Friend Day. It's just some random day. And I said, what is this? And she said, you've really been going through a very hard time right now, and I want you to know that I love and appreciate you. So I'm like a kid at Christmas. I'm ripping paper off of this gift, and I open it up, and it's a beautifully engraved meditation journal that I can write in and personalize it just for me. And on the inside of the page, she had Proverbs 18:21. Life
wow.
and death lie in the power of the tongue. Now this is the hit, Dr. Dunlap. She said, I love you, Kimberly. Don't ever forget, from this day forward, every word we say is a prayer. Therefore, whatever comes out of you, it invokes action, outcome, and consequence. Action, outcome, and consequence. You guys, that was 10 years ago. Now, I'm still growing in my spiritual awareness, and I'm still growing in my level of consciousness, but it is like an insatiable thirst that I constantly educate myself on being that, because think about it, Dr. Dunlap. Every word we say is a prayer. Everything we say, Dr. Dunlap, I appreciate you. That is a prayer. I am saying, God, you gave this man to us to lead, guide, and educate, and we appreciate him. That is a prayer of gratitude. So when I'm barking and I'm grumpy and I'm yelling at people and I'm closed-minded and just unhappy, that is also a prayer. That's saying to God, to the universe, and everyone around me, I don't care what I have. I don't appreciate it. I'm not in the mood, so leave me alone. So go away. Mm. It is what it is. No, I didn't put the sun in the sky. No, I didn't flourish the air, the universe with oxygen, but I don't care. So it taught me. And every day I would write in that journal, and I would go back to work, and I would share my experiences with her. And she would just smile in her heart and in her presence because she could see the light coming on in my eyes and in my spirit and in my consciousness. We literally have the power. We pray all day. Now, the hit is who and what are we praying to? Because if everything I say, Dr. Dunlap, is a prayer, if every time Susie walks by and I say, why did she choose to wear those shoes? That's a prayer. I have just prayed to whatever demonic force that this woman's shoes are insignificant, insufficient, and that I don't care about how she feels if she were to know that it's judgmental, it's combative, it's offensive, it's unkind. So it's teaching me constantly to be aware of who I am, what I'm saying, and how my actions display a Christ-like image. Now, do I get it right all the time? Absolutely not. I am a work in progress, and I am constantly, constantly reminding myself and being accountable for my actions. When I realize and recognize something, I may not always want to make amends or apologize, but those ill feelings will rest in your spirit when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So I'm so grateful that I at least have consciousness of mind to know that certain things no longer rest well in my spirit. When it comes to the consciousness in regards to my health moving forward, when I went through this dilemma with the gastric bypass referral and the doctor's office and being 400 pounds, now let me give you guys a visual. I'm 6'2". I'm a very tall frame woman. 400 pounds. The average football player, Dr. Dunlap, cannot exceed 325 pounds. They probably wouldn't let him play. But they're somewhere between 260. Yeah. These guys are big, but they are muscle big. They're not that big. So if you're exceeding 325, your health is at risk. You cannot perform to that state. So I was larger than an average-sized football player. And I carried that weight, and I did it. I don't blame anyone. I don't dictate. I don't allow society to dictate how I act. But inevitably, I ultimately was, because I saw so many other big girls in my area, and you know they were doing good things with themselves. So I figured, hey, I'm just a big girl, and I'm happy with it. But I was not doing well by my vessel. And ultimately, my end-of-the-road crash and burn was significant health challenges. And so all of this consciousness started coming to me at one time. And when they told me, it was like an epiphany. Everything that I had learned in my mind, everything that I had been retaining from tapes and books and friends speaking and Diane giving me this journal, it hit my head and my heart at the same time, and an epiphany. An explosion went off in me, because when I left that doctor's office and he told me I had to lose 50 pounds, I said, I'm going to do it just to show him that I can, and he will, and he better give me this surgery. Well, moving forward, you guys, and we'll talk about it as we go move into our health segment, it wasn't necessary, because what I had to do to lose that weight had nothing to do with the physical. And I want you all to understand, and I want you to please chime in if you have questions or concerns or just input, that it is not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle, and you can only get there by changing your consciousness. The state of being aware, just being aware of your surroundings, taking accountability for where you are, and moving forward. And it has been, it grows and grows and grows. I want to talk with you. Our thoughts create our lives, and they're moving. It's the moving force behind everything we do. It's the way that we encounter circumstances and events, and it's how we choose. Operative word, choice, choose to maneuver through life. So I had a lot of issues early on in childhood, through my young adult life, my adolescence, young adult life, that I sat on the pity pot for way too long, Dr. Dunlap. I sat there way too long. I am a full-fledged recovering pouter. I pout, I procrastinated, and I felt sorry for myself. This is where I said in my 40s and my 50s, a light bulb came on, and I said, no more. I am not a victim. I am a victor. Every experience that I have, I will use it to be a testimony to help, inspire, and encourage someone else. So it does take time. You don't just move into it automatically, and not to minimize anybody's experiences or their pain, but flip it. You know, life and death lies in the tongue. So instead of me speaking that I was victimized, I speak that I am a victor. I was able to overcome some astronomical circumstances, and I am stronger as a result of. I want to talk to you about our thought processes, Dr. Dunlap. Everything we think, everything that ever is, that ever was, that ever will be, begins in thought. It doesn't begin on paper. It begins in the mind. I have this plaque in my office, and actually I printed it off of a website called MindSpring. But it says your mind is a garden, your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. It's true.
Wow.
Everything. Yes, our mind is a garden. And it's your decision what you plant in your garden. Anything you plant will yield a harvest. So if you plant negativity and doubt and dismay and discouragement and depression and dependency, that's what you will harvest. You have a choice to plant flowers or weeds. And I love that. I didn't invent it. I saw it on a website page, and I printed it and posted it on my vision board. But it says your mind is a garden, your thoughts are the seed. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. And I want to talk to you about the power. Yes, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. And, you know, some people get it, some people don't, but I love it. I live by it. I want to say something real quick before we have our guests chime in about the power of the thought process, because that's crucial. For anything that you choose to acquire, you operate intention. Those of us that are here on this line today, we operated in intention. We intended to be here on the radio at 2 o'clock p.m., and everything that preceded that 2 p.m. hour was setting the pace for us signing in. We operated and we succeeded in our intention. And we do that every day. And you just have to set intention for what it is you want to do, and you move in that intention. I want to say there are spiritual faculties that we all have. It's just real important that we tune into our God-given gifts that we have. When God said he made us in his image and his likeness, guess what he also gave us? The power of imagination. That image, imagination. You can imagine anything you want to imagine. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. For those listening, I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and we have a circumference around the city, a thoroughfare called 285. It's a big circle, probably four to five lanes. And no matter how many lanes the DOT put out there, it's always congested. So if I were to tell, and whatever city you're in, you may have a thoroughfare that has regular high volumes of traffic. If I were to tell you there is a multi-car pileup on 285 and it's pandemonium everywhere, you would be like, wow. You could literally see it in your mind. You can see the multiple cars in the traffic jam. You can see the yellow hero units riding down the side of the highway. You can see the fire department and their flashing lights. The police are there. You got onlookers with cell phones and video cameras. You got the Instagrammers and your Facebookers. You can see people standing on the side of the road. You can visualize this in your mind. Is it impossible for you to imagine a multi-car pileup? You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So those, your mind is that same intricate vessel. It operates the same way. If you want to see yourself healthy and thin, blood pressure, cholesterol free, start visualizing it in advance, and it will play before you like a movie screen. It doesn't take a lot. They can tell you our president is on the TV right now, and he's holding a press conference. You don't even have to hear what they're saying. You can visualize what the press conference looks like because you've seen it so many times, either in person or in your mind's eye. You know, so those are the things that I want, that I practice on a daily basis. I visualize myself healthy. I visualize myself wealthy. I visualize being kind and good to people. I visualize making a positive impact. I visualize all those things I want in my life. I practice it. And practice is the key word because, boy, do I not always get it right. I don't always get it right, you know, and that burning desire inside of me to do better and be better, it will not feel well in your spirit when you miss the mark. When you miss the mark, and I just wanted to share how powerful the power of consciousness is. And you won't get it all on an hour chat board or speaking with a friend. It's a cumulative of all of your experiences that come together, and when you start believing and executing your faith and what you've already done, what you already know, for me, Dr. Dunlap, that's when it started coming together. And, you know, going back, I know Diane, and I'm saying this name because this is my experience that brought me here today, she said, Minister Kim. I said, girl, don't say that. I don't want to be in a ministry. That's not what I want to do. I want to do this and this and this and this, but a ministry would hinder me. It would slow me down. It would put restrictions on what I can say and what I can do and where I can go. And she said, baby, you are so confused. That is not what ministry is. My mind's eye at the time was telling me ministry was religious. It was restrictive. It was, you know, confining. And she said it's very simple. Ministry is just the action of coming to the aid of another, period. Everybody, each and every one of us has a ministry, whether you're the egg lady or you're the cake lady and you're the bread lady, you fix lunches, you mow yards, your ministry is landscaping, your ministry is cooking, your ministry is hair. Whatever it is that you do to come to the aid of another, it has nothing. We have placed so much religious connotation on that word that we automatically think it means religion, and it doesn't. It's the influence. It's utilized to influence the course of action or direction of a situation or a person. I'm like, really? So I do have a ministry, and every word I say, Dr. Dunlap, is a prayer. I can be, and this is so deep. You have to chime in and tell me what you think, but it's like where spiritually, what are you sowing into? Where does your interest lie? Where does your heart lie? What is it that you want to do? Who are you following? I know that part for me getting to this point and the success of where I am, where I was then to where I am now, is that I had to be open for coaching and counseling. You know, you can't go, and I'll use dieting all the way through this thing and healthy eating and a healthy lifestyle because that's what I choose to do. But again, I need you to incorporate any area of your life. You need to be open for coaching and counseling. When the student is ready, Dr. Dunlap, the teacher will appear. All you have to do is just say, I need help. This is something that is very difficult to me. I haven't wanted to admit it to myself or to others, but I'm struggling in this area, and I need your help. And that's something that I had to do it was obvious to my family and friends that if I could do it, I would have done it already. But when I openly conveyed that I was struggling is when everything just started materializing. And not only did the mentors come, but the village came, you know, and my life has never been the same since then. Something else that is very, very, very important is follow the right people. It is okay to be a copycat as long as you are copying the right cat. You can't be practicing behaviors of other people that mean you no good. You have to follow people with your best interest at heart, and it's not hard. I know we all at times run across people that are kind of shady, and we say, God, I thought this person was different. You know, it happens. It happens a lot in the family. It happens in our communities. We see it all the time. But I just want to encourage you that it is not hard to recognize a team of winners. But the problem is we're sometimes timid to ask for help, so we don't necessarily say out of a little skepticism the exact nature of what's going on with us. But it has been my personal experience that when you're transparent and you're candid and you say exactly what you're feeling, again, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and that's what has happened for me. Who are you following? Follow somebody that has experience in this area, that has proven success. Hear me, people. Success leaves clues. Clues. If you see somebody and they say, hey, I lost 20 pounds. Really? What did you do? How did you keep it off? 20 pounds is a lot easier than 160 pounds. Follow the lead in any area, whether you're trying to start a business, whether you're trying to improve your health, whatever it is you're trying to do, the small measures, the smallest events and victories and success adds up to big, big, big success. So celebrate the small things and be real mindful again, your circle of influence. There were some people that I had to absolutely let go, and Dr. Dunlap, it's real easy to leave people when they're mean to you or when they treat you bad. Mm-hmm. But when people are good to you and there's the appearance of love and nurturing and caring, it's difficult, you know, separating yourself from those people because you say, how do I turn my back on people that love me? But sometimes the season is over, and you don't necessarily have to say leave in discord. You just have to put yourself first and say it's time that I step aside and I take care of me. And in doing so, this is how powerful God is. When he knows you're sincere, not only will he give you an agenda to step to the side, he'll give them one too. He'll give them an agenda. And when you do run back across one another, it'll be a pleasantry. It'll be a reception, a pleasant reception, and not one of discord and hostility, because I didn't want to let go of my friends. You know, we ate together. You know, we did all kind of big girl stuff together. And I wanted to keep hanging with my Waffle House in the middle of the morning crew. But I had to do something different. So he will give all of us an agenda. And I want to say that find those that inspire you to greatness. Formulate new ideas on a closed mind. It takes a village to raise a child. And I want to focus on that child really quick. You have to not necessarily relinquish your power, but children take instruction. If it takes a village and you need help, put yourself in the place of a child and follow instruction. You can't teach yourself a foreign language if the instructions are written in a foreign language. Be good to yourself. Learn to be your friend. You know, I was talking with a friend about how this all works and how bad do you want it, and it takes execution. Replace execution with practice. It takes practice, 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 and learn your truth. Dr. Dunlap, I can rattle on all day. I just want to start there, and, you know, just hopefully I have said something that has inspired someone. We want to meet here every first and third Friday of the month, each month following at 2 p.m., and we want to welcome you to return with your family, with your friends, with your community, and please chime in and support us and just post questions on our board, or you can chime in now if you have any questions, comments, or concerns.
Well, Kim, I'm just going to say this has been a great show. I'm just so happy to even just be a part of what you're doing. And one of the things that I will say, something that you said about people, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 11:14, if I'm not mistaken, that in a multitude of counselors there is safety. And so if we have a group of people around us, whether they're physically around us, whether they're people who we're constantly chatting with on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever type of social media outlet there is, it's very critical that people understand that everybody's not their friend. It's critical that everybody understands that you may have 1,000 friends, or 1,000 people may have liked your post, 1,000 people may have looked at your photo that you posted, but in the time of need, can they be a counselor? And you don't want to listen to everybody. And so it's important that everybody just understands who are the ones that I'm around. That's one. Who am I around? Because some folks, I may be around because I'm trying to get something. I'm trying to get from point A to point B. I see something that you have. I want to be attached to you. But then the other people, the other question or the thought is, who are the people that are trying to be around me?
Mm.
And I think on that second one, that's where there's a loss of understanding, because if I'm not picking up on the clues that some of these jokers that are around me that always want to come and be a part of the things that I'm doing, you know how it is, or maybe you don't, but I'll tell you how I know it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group of people that oftentimes get attached to other folks when it's payday, where there's dudes trying to do it to women, whether it's women trying to do it to dudes, whether it's your homeboys, your homegirl, you know, every other weekend when you get paid, you know, 2 days before, you know, you get a phone call or text, man, what we doing on Friday? Those individuals are not necessarily trying to elevate your consciousness. They're just trying to be a part of what you have going on. And even if it's what you have going on is not the right thing, they're trying to be a part of it because they're trying to get something from you. And so I'm glad that you said that, you know, following the right people, but I want to add, also be careful about the people that are following you.
Wow.
Because when people follow you, they're coming into your space and they're bringing, I won't say their mess in a derogatory way, but they're bringing themselves and everything that's attached to
their
them into
energy.
Your space.
They're bringing their energy, yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with church. So many of our colleagues, that hold positions of pastor, bishop, prophet, leading churches, ministry, are looking for increase, especially in the numbers. But you got to realize, if 15 people join your church on Sunday, you best believe that you got 15 people, and some of them probably going to have some debt problems, some of them going to have some marital problems, some of them going to have children that's wayward. They into a bunch of foolishness that they just, you know, you're not seeing it just because they came up to the front of the church and say, hey, let me give my life to Christ, or whatever the manner in which it's done in everybody's particular places of worship. But those things don't always come out. And a lot of times people are joining churches and want to be a part of ministries, PRF included, because of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be in this mindset. I got to have this mindset that this thing is not about me getting a following. We're supposed to be doing everything that we're doing, elevating people's consciousness so that we can lead, and this is my stance, so we can lead people to Christ by what we're doing, what we're saying, how we're living, so that they can have a chance for eternal life. Now, if that's somebody else's, if that's not somebody else's that's listening mindset, that's okay. I got it, because we're all not at the same place. We're all not doing the same thing, but that's my stance. And so I have to be conscious of the people that are trying to follow me. And if I can add one more thing, when we deal with the mind, you mentioned the mind at the beginning of your show. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, brethren, right? And then it goes on to say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. So if a mind needs to be renewed, then we have to ask the question, what does the mind need to be renewed from? What I want to ask everybody to think about is, what is it, let's call it, what type of stinking thinking do you have? And when you identify your stinking thinking, then now you're able, if you're ready to go through a process of transformation, to say, you know what, Lord, I need you to help me with this. I got this bad attitude about this chick at work because she constantly is messy. I got a bad attitude about this individual at such and such because dude just really think that I won't go upside his head. You know, whatever the case may be, all of us have some type of stinking thinking. And so the mind is, it is a terrible thing to waste, but it is such it also has the ability to be a very dangerous place. And the reason that it is able to be a very dangerous place is because we have been trained a certain way. Indulge me for a moment. You mentioned about imagination. This is where I'm going. I remember several years ago, the first doctorate ministry program that I entered into, I was taking this course called, what is the name of this course? It was How to Hear God's Voice. That was the name of the course, first course in the program. And in this first course, I remember being introduced to something that I'd never been introduced to before, and it was dealing with the mind. It was talking about a scientific backdrop, if you will, for spiritual intimacy, right? And so I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Now, it didn't start giving a whole bunch of scriptures when it gave you this. What it started talking about was the left and right hemisphere brain function, and it says so on the right side of the brain. The right side of your brain controls the left side of your body. It also deals with music, things like art, things like imagination, intuition, how you see things in a different way, like not being linear, but you can see things in a three-dimensional way, just like what you were talking about, that imagination piece. But on the right side, or the left side of the brain, deals with your right control functions. But it deals with language, it deals with numbers, reading, writing, arithmetic, reasoning, critical thinking, you know, how you speak. And it's amazing to me that when we are young, everything is about the right hemisphere of the brain. It's about art. It's about intuition. You're not going to tell a kid and kill a kid's dream and say, you know what, that's an ugly picture. Mommy and daddy do not look like that. We take it. We run with it. We encourage. We put those little pictures up on the refrigerator. We put them on the wall. I got some in my office in the spare bedroom on the refrigerator. I got them all over the place. They'd be like, Daddy, I'm grown now. I got you. But I remember that. And so the educational system that we're in, for whatever reason, has decided that the older that we get, we need to be moving more towards those left hemisphere type of functions, right, the language reading. And we don't honor, as an educational system in our country, we don't honor the left and the right side. Let somebody 22 years old draw the same type of picture that you drew when you was 5. How many people will crush your dreams and say, you drew that? Are you slow? You know, what's the case? You know, folks are mean like that only because they have been conditioned on the left side of the brain. And so I'm glad that you brought that up about imagination. We, as individuals, especially as believers, I'm saying this, we have to be of the mindset that we have to honor the whole of everything, not a part of it that just fits us, because we're different. And because we're actually different people and we operate in different spaces, then that's how diversity comes into effect. So that I just wanted to throw that out there, Kim.
Absolutely. You know, you were mentioning be ye transformed by the renewal of the mind. That is just so powerful. And you brought up if we were trying to correct something, what is it that thinking that we're trying to correct? And what came to mind for me is you cannot fix what you do not acknowledge. And as long as, you know, the word victimized, if somebody right now burst all the windows out your car, or put your car on the flat, you would be, wow, you know, I've been victimized by some random act of violence. But as long as you stay in that, you're consistently being victimized over and over and over, perpetually without end. So you have to acknowledge your level of accountability in any circumstance. Maybe that wasn't the correct location to park my vehicle. I'll try something different next time. Even in trying something different, quit staying in the role of victim. You cannot fix what you do not acknowledge, you know, and it's always somebody else's fault. So, yes, we're going to encounter situations in life which seem unfair and incontrollable, but I just think that we have the power to overcome so many things that we give way too much power to the wrong level of influence. And that really hit me when you said, look who's following you, and it came to mind with this social media frenzy on our Facebook page and on our social media page. There are people and postings that I would never, ever agree with. I kind of just scroll past the stuff. But I'm saying they're following me. You know, do I really need that energy in my, you know, to help me grow and to help me flourish? So that kind of hit me as well. But that just leaves me with feeling that everything begins in thought. As I stated earlier, everything begins in thought, and we've got to recondition, you know, be ye transformed by the renewal of the mind. It's time for me to get some reconditioning in my mind as well.
Well,
do we have
let me
any other
this,
callers?
Yes, Mama.
Go ahead, Mama. Go ahead.
Oh yes. When you were speaking about everything begins with thought and life, and death is in the power of the tongue. It is the power of choice.
Mm.
You wouldn't be where you are today if you didn't take that gift of choice that God gave us, and then it becomes power when you're using it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that power of choice. It's just the power of choice. We just make all types of choices.
Yeah,
but
that's
I think
true.
That we have to realize the power of the choices that we make. Because we make them. Okay, I just made a choice. And we don't think that, yes, you made a choice, but we don't think about the power of choice. As you were saying, power is life and death in the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we make a choice so we can have that power.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Thank you so very much. You know, that is crucial. Everything, I think I stated it earlier, but if not, everything we do is a domino effect. Whether the outcome and consequences are favorable or whether they are catastrophic or unfavorable, it's all a series of how we put it out there. You know, if you you pay your bills each month, you expect to have a key to your house and lights on, and you know, you expect a series of things to follow that are positive. But the same thing goes to if you don't pay the light bill, you can almost guarantee beyond measure that your lights will be cut off at some point. So again, it's a matter of choices. You have to plant those things that you want to in your life. You know, you got to plant and operate in intention and move towards that. And it, you know, the reason why these are things that may come really simple for some people, but I'm the youngest of five, and I had very strong siblings, and everybody took care of the baby. You know, the baby, get my baby, don't let her fall, watch where she's going, keep an eye on her, do this. If I did something in the house, Dr. Dunlap, Mama, listen to this. And my parents were frustrated that my siblings allowed it to happen. Guess who got the whooping? They got, for mamas, took me an extended period of time to realize that my actions not only impacted me, but impacted other people. And my life, no matter where I'm at, whether I'm satisfied or not, is a direct result of how I designed it. You know, everything we need is right here before us, but because we don't take execution or the operating intention to acquire those things, or because we lollygag and rest on our laurels and ignore the blessings that we do have around us. I believe, and this is probably off key, but it is one of my personal beliefs, that it is almost impossible to receive more when you don't appreciate what you have. And I took that stance at 408 pounds, you know, and I mentor a lot of women, men as well, on losing weight and staying consistent with the plan. And it has become a ministry, you know, something that I didn't ever anticipate it being. It has become a ministry for me. And what I've learned is that you have to learn to be your own best friend and passionately get enthusiastic about loving yourself. And lastly, celebrate where you are right now. Baby, I was a jazzy 400-pound chick. If you had told me anything otherwise, we would have had a problem. And I'm so grateful for that spirit of confidence because you celebrate. You know, we often are looking in the weight loss world, we're often looking at pounds, but ounces matter. If I got on the scale this morning and I was 4.8 and I get back on today and I'm 4.0, I have lost 8 ounces. I celebrate it. So you celebrate every little bitty milestone, and they add up. They add up to great things. So, you know, I'm just really full right now, and I feel really confident about this. And I'm hoping that there's somebody out there that has a comment, a suggestion, and they want to chime in and just say not. If not, maybe this week isn't the best week for you. We invite you to return. And bring on a friend. If you can't get a community, just bring one person on with you. Dr. Dunlap, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, again, I just wanted to just say congratulations, Kim, and thank you for just being obedient to the Spirit and taking the opportunity just to bless the people, because I know that this is just something that is very, very important. A lot of times, especially in the world of Christendom, it appears that those of us that may have Rev in front of our name or MDiv at the back or DMin at the back or standing in the pulpit with the title of pastor, bishop, or whatever it is, are so much pushing people to just have faith, just have faith. And we know that faith without works is dead. And so how do you go from faith to works? The way that you go from, and this is me, the way that I see from what you have been saying today, that we go from faith to works is dealing with what's in our mind. You could have faith all day long. You could say it, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't come to fruition until you actually put something into play. And I don't care who you are and what you have and what you're trying to do. If you don't put this in your mind that you can do it, if you don't believe that you can do it, then you're probably not operating out of faith. You're just hoping that luck happens. And so I'm glad that you have that you've elevated our minds, elevated my mind to just thinking about, you know, how important positive thinking is to what we have to do, to what God wants us to do, what we've been called to do. And so I thank you, and I'm just glad to just to be a part and to see all the people that through the monitor and the switchboard, to see all the people that are listening right now in the middle of the day, that speaks volumes to the people that choose to follow you, because they know that there is something special that you have to say to them. And so again, I salute you, and the rest of us here are the PRF team. We do as well.
Absolutely. Dr. Dunlap, I receive, and I am so incredibly grateful. I say this and I'll say it again. You know, you are a blessing and a gift to so many people. You are a leader's leader. And not only do you passionately care for your community, but you do it with so much enthusiasm, and you make us want to learn. It's, you know, quite often we're called. I'm sure we've all been called to some level of ministry in the past, and we kind of said, oh, you know, I got so many things going on with the kids and the family and my job, and I'm already on this several auxiliary, and we push it out of the way, not subconsciously out of fear. And I just want to applaud and salute you, Dr. Dunlap, because you don't take no for an answer, number one, and you physically understand. Listen, I'm serious. You understand our level of need, and you are so keen at nurturing into the souls of people. And I want to say thank you, I love you, and I confidently will follow instructions, because you're definitely a leader's leader. And if you ever mention that you want to be built up and groomed, that's your key to go in on them. So thank you.
Amen,
well,
amen.
Yeah, you are answered prayer.
What you were saying, you were talking about, and I've never heard it put this way, that when, you know, you have to let, you know, let your friends go, although you don't want to, and when you said everything, it's a season, and that God, and it's a season, and God will give them an agenda, and, you know, that is a, to me, that's a very powerful statement there, because, a lot of times you wonder, especially if you've been close to them for about 20 years and you all have been through the thick and thin and been with one another, and you all have really, I mean, you know, you really have clinged to one another. And now it's like you know, you really don't have any choice, you know, because you see that you're going down different roads now. And when you're talking about the agenda, I was thinking that a lot of times you're saying, now what are they going to do? Because they always come to me. But when you said God gives them agenda, and I thought, I said, well, I have to allow them, just like God gives us an agenda, and he expects for us to do the agenda that he's given us, we have to also allow them to do the agenda that God has given them. They can
absolutely
no longer lean on us, or else we'll never, they'll always be in that inner circle, and they'll always be pulling from us.
True, true, true. That you know, we all have an agenda, and it's a day-to-day thing. It changes, and sometimes circumstances arise that were out of our control or weren't prepared for. But, I just want to say I just appreciate you all so, so incredibly much. Unfortunately, we're coming to the close of our program on today, but it is such a wonderful thing that we were able to come together today and discuss these topics. I would like to leave you in thought. I want to leave you all with a question for the week. Perhaps we can follow back up on the third Friday of the month to see where we left off with this, but I want to know, your mind leads and the body follows. Your mind leads and the body follows. Where is your mind leading you? That's the question. If the mind leads and the body follows, where is your mind leading you? I want to thank you guys again on today. I want you to return, share with your family and friends. Have them log on to blogtalkradio.com/PRF. Table. Again, I thank you, and this has been a wonderful day. I want you to have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful month of July, and we will see you again. We'll meet again right here on the third Friday in July, which is going to put us right at the 21st, Friday the 21st.
Amen.
Thanks
Amen.
Again, and continue blessings, prosperity, and success. Thank you.